Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Mark Appel or Forrest Whitley? Which of the two are the bigger of the busts?
I think Mark Appel.
Yeah, Bell was the first pick, never pitched in the big leagues for you. Whitley was the 17th pick, and pitched a couple games for you, pitched a few games for you. But the fact that he was the 17th pick versus the first pick, that's a pretty big delta.
Yeah, it's like tough with any team, especially like from an NBA perspective, like in the 20s. In the 20s, they're first-round picks, but more times than not, those guys, if they make it at all, are going to be journeyman, end-of-the-bench type guys. But when you look at it, like the one year we had three first-round picks for the Rockets, and it was Bryce Drew, Mirsad Turkson, and they were all like 15, 16, 17 in that mix where they had three ones and they missed badly on two of them. You're like, that's not good.
And everybody wanted Rashard Lewis.
Oh, that's right. He was in that draft.
He was Houston, straight out of high school, slipped to the second round. Everybody thought that the Rockets were going to draft.
And you know why they didn't?
Rashard Lewis. I have no idea.
The family, because the local kid. The talking to the family, dad seemed like he was going to be like David Carr's dad. Like he was going to practice every day or anything like that, and they didn't want that.
Yeah, maybe it was good that he went away. The other one was Michael Dickerson.
Yeah,
he was okay.
Michael Dickerson was in with those other two guys, and he did
the first
out.
Of the three.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I liked Michael Dickerson. Like, he didn't have a great career, but he was solid.
Oh, he was definitely a solid NBA player. Yep.
And those were in the teens, too. Like, again, I'm disqualifying an NBA player that was pretty much that is outside of the top five. And maybe you have to go case by case per draft, like a heavy class. Maybe you go to the top 10, a weak class. Maybe you bump it up to the top three. And then me personally disqualify baseball because of the nature of the sport. Texter says has to be Antoine Peake. Antoine Peake was a third rounder. Like, you can't be a third rounder and the biggest bust in NFL history.
No.
Or in Houston sports history, or even Houston Texans history. For me, Carr and Okoye. If I went Texans, I'd go Carr and Okoye. I don't know who I would pick if I went strictly basketball. Like, if I went just the Houston Rockets, who would I pick as the biggest buzz? I mean, a lot of Texans are saying Royce White.
But he was the 16th pick. Yeah, I thought he was in the teens.
He was 16th. But if you had to pick the biggest bust in Houston Rocket history,
I'll give you one.
I mean, that's a pretty good one, Royce White. You couldn't even jump on an airplane.
I'll give you one
hashtag
with a technicality. The Rockets gave up three ones for Eddie Griffin. And Eddie Griffin, but Eddie Griffin coming out of college was supposed to be like a franchise-type player. Like, he was so young and so gifted and had the size. And he had a good year or two when the crowd used to chant Eddie and he'd make the threes. And then he just never really panned out.
Was Eddie Griffin better than Royce White, though?
Yeah, for a year or so.
I mean, the conversation we're having is the biggest bust in NBA, Houston Rockets history. Like, Eddie Griffin played 2 years with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Played 2 years with the Rockets. He averaged nearly 10 a game. Would start. I mean, the second year with the Rockets, he started 66 games. He averaged 25 minutes a game for the Rockets in his 2 years. That's better than Royce White.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you that's a bust, but it's not a bigger bust than Royce White. Hashtag be well. 713-780-ESPN, out to the HRMP listener line. Lance, you're in the Hive. What's up, Lance?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give my 2 cents on this. I personally think that Clowney was a bust. Number one pick, and just I don't think he brought what they were looking for. I mean, yeah, he was a big name, and he had a couple good moments, but I think Clowney was a bust. And then I know you said anything after the first round doesn't really count, but I think Sam Montgomery in 2013 was a third rounder. You put a lot of stock in third round draft picks. I didn't mean the guy made the team.
Yeah, he got cut. He was doing a little.
He was
in the hotel.
Yeah. Was Rock Cartwright or whatever his name was part of that there was three guys.
I don't
that
remember
were,
who they were.
Three guys that were draft picks that all got busted.
Montgomery's the one that I remember. Montgomery's a third. I mean, he would be a bust, but I wouldn't call him the biggest bust. But I mean, worth bringing up. A third rounder. 713-780 ESPN. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Dave, what's up, Dave?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Field Nevin. We're talking about getting Houston team, mainly because the scout told Houston to pick Jeter or fire him. And that's what I heard. They fired him, did not pick Jeter. Phil Nevin is the biggest bust to me.
Yeah, Phil Nevin was definitely a guy that they thought was going to be great. He had a decent major league career.
Yeah, he
was in the league for
Astros.
A while. Yeah, but especially when you look at Jeter, could have been that guy.
Hal Newhouser was the scout. That he was banging the table for Derek Jeter, said draft Derek Jeter. They didn't draft Derek Jeter. They went Phil Nevin number one. Yankees would draft Derek Jeter five picks later at pick number six. Mm. So let's say swing and a miss. Mm-hmm. Phil Nevin would be in the conversation. Phil Nevin would probably, oh man, I don't know. Like again, my personal rule is, and this is, I mean, it's relative and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. If I had to go strictly baseball, is it Nevin or is it Appel? Nevin never played for you.
Is Aiken in the mix because you never signed him?
I wouldn't count Aiken. I think Aiken was a great draft pick.
Because it turned into Bregman.
It turned into Alex Bregman. Yeah. I'm happy they drafted Aiken and he didn't sign because it turned into Alex Bregman, the
Appel.
Best third baseman in Houston Astro history.
I'd say Appel because he didn't actually really actually play a major league game until I think 2 years ago. Two or three years ago?
Somewhere in that window. Nevin did play 18 games for the Astros. I thought he never played. He played 18 games his rookie year, but that's it. And he did nothing. He had seven career hits as an Astro.
And then he was like Padres,
around. He had some good years, just never with Houston.
Right.
I mean, he was an all-star 1 year. He had two top 30 MVP finishes. He had 41 home runs with the Padres in 2001.
Good.
He had another 31 home. Like, he had a couple of good years, just never with you. So I guess because can you give Nevin the good years away from Houston? Because Appel never had good years away from Houston.
Yeah, I think it's Appel because he just never did anything.
Yeah, like you're giving Nevin points because he did stuff in the bigs, but it was not in Houston. But still, he did something in the bigs. Mm-hmm. Like, he was kind of worthy of the draft pick. Certainly not better than Jeter. Somebody said Jalen Strong. I remember Jalen Strong had so much draft buzz, but again, a third rounder.
Arizona State?
Yeah, third rounder. Like, I can't go third rounder, biggest draft bust ever. Lewis Nix. He was a late round draft pick too, though. Third. Okay, third. That's higher than I thought. I thought he was like fourth or fifth.
Wasn't Swearinger a second?
Yeah, but Swearinger had some good years.
Yeah.
Swearinger was a decent player for a couple of years.
He was a guy that could hit like,
I mean, Swearinger was good enough to have a show at the Blitz. They had the DJ Swearinger show with Fred and AJ.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They had the other defensive back, Q.
Quentin Dimps.
Yep.
Was that while he was a player?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't remember.
We did it 1 year with him.
I remember they had Dimps, but I didn't remember. Besides Watson, for me, the biggest bust would be Kevin Johnson.
Defensive back.
See, what's frustrating about – now, he was a first rounder, 16th pick. Like, he was okay. He just always got hurt.
He did. He was so small.
Very, very small.
Yeah.
I like the guy, but technically, what about John Singleton? They didn't – he wasn't an Astros draft pick, I don't think. I think they traded for John Singleton.
The guy that ended up being, like, their top prospect, I think, for 1 year, or their top position player was the guy that scored the run off the Bregman hit, Derek Fisher. And then he fell off the planet. They traded him to Toronto, I think, the year after.
Yeah, he wasn't a draft pick either, I don't think.
I thought he was. I thought I looked it up that he was a draft pick.
I think he was acquired via trade. Or maybe I'm only looking at first-round draft picks. So he could have been a draft pick. I'm only looking at the first-rounders in Houston history. So you could be right. 713-780-ESPN. What do you think about Clowney as a bust?
I don't think a guy that's had a long career in Major League Baseball, he might not have ever turned out to be the kind of guy that you wanted him to be, drafting him that high. But I don't think that he qualifies. He's not even close to the Carr level because they both played. I think Carr was far worse than Clowney's had some years.
It's fair to say Clowney didn't live up to expectations, but there's no way you could say that Jadeveon Clowney. Now, you could say he's a bust. I probably wouldn't, but I could hear somebody listen to an argument, Jadeveon Clowney was a bust. But is he a bigger bust than David Carr? No. No way. Is he a bigger bust than a Moby Okoye? No way. Clowney, again, Pro Bowls don't matter. He had three of them. He was a second-team All-Pro in Houston. Like, Jadeveon Clowney, if you eliminate where he was drafted, and I understand you can't do that, but if you eliminate where Jadeveon Clowney was drafted, he's had a solid career, a real solid career. He's been in the league 11 years. He was an All-Pro second-team guy. He had four seasons of at least 9 sacks. Like, Clowney's had a better career than people give him credit for because he was the number one pick and they were expecting Lawrence Taylor.
See, I think it's fair to say that people like to be hypercritical because of where they were drafted, of Clowney and of Mario Williams. But both guys had decent careers where they had success.
The thing that I always defend Mario Williams with, too, is that people were mad that they didn't go Reggie Bush and or Vince Young. Mm-hmm. I guess it wouldn't be and Vince Young. They didn't go Reggie Bush or Vince Young. He was easily the best of those three. Mm-hmm. Mario Williams was easily the best
of
those three.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would never call Mario Williams a bust. Vermont on the Twitch says Mursad Turkan. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Mursad Turkan. That was one of the two I said, yeah.
Yeah, he was – did he ever – he never played in a game, right?
No,
did he ever even come overseas?
No, I don't believe he did.
Yeah, I thought he stayed over there.
Derek Fisher was the 37th overall pick in 14.
Okay, so early second.
Yeah, early second.
Early second. Would you call Deshaun Watson a draft bust with all the allegations? I couldn't. Here's why I couldn't call Deshaun Watson a draft bust. He was pretty good, one. Mm-hmm. Two, he won you a playoff game. Three, he got you a bunch of draft picks that are helping you right now build this new era of Houston Texan football. You couldn't, in my opinion, you can't call Deshaun Watson a draft bust.
No, I mean, again, because I think the other part of that is if you take away all of the off-the-field stuff, he proved that he had the ability to play and continue to play at a pretty high level. It's just that then he didn't want to be here, and he had all the off-the-field
stuff. Texture says Brett Wallace. I think Brett Wallace was acquired via trade.
From Toronto, I think.
Yeah, maybe San Diego. I think he bounced around a few spots. Boki Nakbar.
Ooh, he's a teener again. He was like 15, 16, 17.
I loved Boki Nakbar, probably more than I should have.
For the Karl Malone jersey rip?
Yeah, I loved him even before that. Like, I think I started to believe the hype, like, of who he could have been.
He had a lot of ability.
I was a Boki Nakbar fan. And then, yes, whenever he yanked down Karl Malone, it cemented that for me.
Two of the best practice players I've ever seen that when the lights got bright, they just didn't do it. Boki Nakbar and Dan Lange. And they traded They traded – who was the guy from Mexico that played – Eduardo Nájera.
He played for Samson.
Yeah, they traded Nájera for Dan Lange.
Samson says Eduardo Nájera is the toughest player he's ever had.
Huh. That was at Oklahoma he played? Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was I want to say he was the first Mexican D1 college basketball player.
I believe that's right.
Yeah, somebody said Benny Joprue. He was that tight end for Michigan. He never did anything. That's not a bad call.
That's right. And then they made him one of the – what do they call this? The Texans that come back and do all the signings.
An ambassador?
The they had him as an ambassador.
Benny
and it was like
Joprue?
He was only like drafted 2 years earlier, and he was already a Texans ambassador.
Benny – I think – to be fair, I do think his career was cut short with injury. I could be wrong on that, but I want to say that's the case. 713-780-ESPN. Biggest draft bust in honor of Forrest Whitley. Biggest draft bust in Houston sports history. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Can you call Yao a bust technically because of health, etc., his promise versus what happened? We thought we were set for 15-plus years, Peter Kay.
Still had all-star seasons. Still had a hell of a lot of accomplishment. I would never... Unfortunate, yes. Bust, no.
Yeah, I couldn't go bust on Yao. I loved Yao. I loved Yao. He was the number one pick the year before LeBron was the number one pick. Mm-hmm. Blows my mind. Got to have Mark Capel in there, right? Yeah, Mark Capel. I think we landed on Mark Capel being the biggest Astro draft bust history. Mobe Okoye mentioned him. Taking Bryce Drew, he came up, and the tall white kid from North Carolina over Rashad Lewis. Who was the tall white kid?
They took Serge Zwicker, but that was a second-round pick that in 1 year.
The year that they drafted, the year that they passed Rashard, it was Dickerson at 14, Bryce Drew at 16, right. And the Turkish guy.
Yep.
It's funny, he's from Turkey, and his name's Turkson.
Yeah.
kind of funny. To
I
me.
Don't. We had Serge Zwicker 1 year, a big guy from Carolina. I don't.
Oh, Serge Zwicker was drafted in the second round in '97. Yeah, he's confusing the years.
Yeah, I knew he was a second round pick.
Yeah, but they drafted Dickerson, Drew Turkin over Rashard. Mm-hmm. Turkin's probably where I land with the Rockets. I think I land on Turkin with the Rockets.
What's crazy is like people forget that the big man from Oklahoma City was a Rockets draft pick.
Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't think people forget that.
Hartenstein
had some run with the Rockets a few years ago. People liked him.
They thought that he was going to turn into something. Daryl loved him, and he didn't do it with the Rockets, and then he just flourished when he got out of town.
Yeah, I mean, he had some moments in Houston where he had some games where it's like, okay, yeah, I like this guy.
I think Demo, too. Demo was a first-round pick.
Motiejunas?
Yeah, Motiejunas.
I liked him a lot. I was a fan of his game. He had a solid year or two, though.
Yeah, it just never panned out the way that he was projected to, but he had skill. There was no doubt he had skill, and he was hurt a lot, too.
Where did he get drafted?
I believe he was the first.
Because
I remember his press conference. We came in and just started calling out names of who he was better than already in the league. And the coaching staff was just cringing, going, easy, just take your time.
He was the 20th pick. They traded for him. Like, they traded into the draft. Rocky from YouTube, Tony Baselli, expansion draft. That one came up. Texture, Reed Shepard is the biggest Rockets bust. Another person asked us, is it too early on Reed? It's way too early on Reed. He might be the biggest Rockets bust, but there's no way you can call that right now. Unless you're predicting the future.
He might be one of the biggest biggest contributors that you didn't see coming next year.
In the summer league, for sure.
Well, that. Yeah, he's gonna, and the G League, he's gonna get you a 50-burger.
Do international signings count toward draft bust? Nah, I wouldn't. I don't think international signings count. The lacrosse tight end, that was the Waring guy, Kahale Waring. Now, he wasn't drafted high, though. He was a mid-round draft pick. So biggest bust, no. I remember people were so hyped about him, though. Oh, he's a multi-sport guy. He can do it all. He's so unique. And then play like four games.
I kept thinking the linebacker, which was Kylie Wong.
Yeah.
He
had some years, though, I think.
He's what's-his-name's brother-in-law, Mario Lopez.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, we've interviewed him before because he started a gym or something, and he mentioned real quickly that they were talking about that Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell was his brother-in-law.
Sexter says Brian Bogusevic.
Wasn't Bogey was he a pitcher first, then an outfielder, and then a failure?
He was a two-way guy at Tulane. I don't remember what it worked like in the bigs, but I've actually thought about Brian Bogusevic being a bust because we see him on TV all the time, and it's like, yeah, this guy was a first rounder and played like 3 years in the bigs, but I think if you're the number 24 pick and you play a few years in the bigs, that's actually a win.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because, again, it is such a crapshoot. I agree with that.
Yeah, I couldn't. But I do think about Bogusevic because we see him all the time. Jalen Green, no way.
Mm-mm.
I mean, Jalen Green's a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA. He's not a bust. You might not love him. You might not like his future. You might not think he's a superstar. But you're not a 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA and a bust. Texture, Ralph Sampson, biggest bust. Rockets still sucked with Sampson with 29 wins. He also hit a huge shot against the Lakers. Ralph Sampson was a good player.
Yeah, and his knees. It was his knees. I mean, that really shortened his career and limited what he could do. But Ralph Sampson was an unbelievable player coming out of Virginia.
Somebody said Luther Head.
He was in the 20s. I don't think a first-round pick in the 20s is worthy of a big bust.
Who is the Greek superstar that ever panned out? I don't know who that is.
Well, one was Billy Spanoulis that Van Gundy hated. That they had spent draft capital on.
Oh, somebody said Spanoulis.
Yeah,
Vasilis. I don't remember Spanoulis, really.
Yep. And
remember Sergio Llull?
That was going to say, that was the other guy that everybody kept saying, this is the year he comes over. And it was every year he wasn't coming over.
Sergio Llull was like a Clutch fans, like, darling. Everybody loves Sergio Llull on Clutch fans.
Yeah, they did.
Texter said, oh, I lost it. Jamie Moyer. Jamie Moyer was not a draft pick by the Astros, and Jamie Moyer was fantastic. Love me some Jamie Moyer. What's not to love about Jamie Moyer? Yeah, Kevin Johnson was mentioned, Texter. Johnny Flynn. He wasn't a Rocket draft pick, though, was he? He got him in trade.
Lottery pick from Syracuse. That's when Daryl used to collect other people's busted lottery picks. And he had Johnny Flynn, Thomas Robinson, Hashim Thabeet. And it used to drive Mikhail nuts. If he goes, God, all it takes is if you were an ex-lottery pick, Daryl's bringing you in.
Corey Lee says somebody. Corey Lee got Chiquinda Graveman. I don't know if I would call Corey Lee himself a bust, but not the biggest bust. And it worked out for you because you got Kendall Graveman who helped you.
And Lee just got sent down, I think, by the White Sox prior to this series.
He's been bad.
And Graveman's got he's with Arizona, and he just got put on the IL with some kind of arm.
Has he been pitching?
Yeah, he's been pitching with Arizona, and he got hurt.
I wonder if he's the reason that Taylor Scott has a job there.
Kind Quite of possibly. Circle.
Somebody says Xavier Suofilo. He was terrible. He was a second-round draft pick. He was drafted in the second round the year that they drafted Clowney.
The old lineman, right?
Yeah, he was dreadful. He lasted in the NFL, though, longer than I thought. Jason Babin, I think he was drafted too low. Do you think that Jeter would have been the same Derek Jeter had he played in Houston and not New York?
I mean, I think Derek Jeter is going to turn out to be Derek Jeter regardless. Because he's on the national stage with a team that was competing for a World Series title every year, does that change things? Yes, it does. But I still think Derek Jeter would have been a highly above-average player for you.
I mean, he's obviously a Hall of Famer. I still think that Derek Jeter puts up Derek Jeter numbers. Mm-hmm. Do I think that Derek Jeter has the fame that Derek Jeter has? No chance.
No, like, not.
East Coast bias is going to lead to Derek Jeter becoming the star of Derek Jeter. Now, let's not lose sleep on the – or let's not lose in the fact here that Jeter would have been on the Bagwell-Biggio teams. Like, that would have been pretty nasty. You go Biggio, Jeter, Bagwell, 1, 2, 3 in the lineup in whatever order you want them in. Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah, Jeter – I mean, so Jeter would have been on some good teams. Like, the Astros – Astros might have a World Series if they drafted Jeter and not Phil Nevin prior to the two of this golden era.
Right, but to the point of, like, if you're playing in New York every year and they are spending money hand over fist every year to be as competitive as they can be, could he have been the same Derek Jeter? You're competing for a championship every year for almost your whole career.
I mean, Jeter probably contends for a title the first half of his career in Houston.
Every year?
Yeah.
I still think.
I mean, the Astros were going to the playoffs every year in the first half. Jeter made his debut in 95, was up in 96. That was about the time the Astros started to get good. And then they were good, the Astros were, until, what, 05? So, I mean, that's his first decade of his career.
But I think that the Yankees, with the exposure, the marketability, the national TV, everything, I don't think it would have equaled what he got in New York.
In terms, what do you mean, what he got?
Like, in terms of, would he be the same Derek Jeter? I think from an exposure, everybody knew him, household name, playing for a World Series almost every year with the Yankees. It's not just making the playoffs, it's playing for a ring.
I think we're saying the same thing differently. Because I believe that Jeter would have been the same player. I don't think he would have had the cachet and stardom if he was in Houston. But the player, I don't think, would have changed. No. Yeah. All right. 713-780-ESPN and HRMP listener line. A bunch of these coming in here. Jeter won the MVP. How many MVPs did Jeter have? Jeter never won an MVP.
I was going to say, that Texter. Didn't sound right.
Texter sending us trophy emojis. Jeter MVP. No. Braxton Miller, the talent, was there but did not work out.
He won a World Series MVP, right?
Probably. Yeah. The thing with Braxton Miller is he was not drafted that high. I think he was a third or fourth round pick.
Third round, right.
And it was actually a terrible pick. I hated that pick so much. People are like, oh, they got Braxton Miller. He's going to be Julian Edelman. No. Like, you don't draft quarterbacks from college in the third round converting them to receiver. You draft those guys in the sixth, seventh, undrafted free agent territory. I hated that pick so much. Hated it. I used to get crushed for that. Everybody, oh, you know, you're a hate. No, Braxton Miller is not a good pick. Braxton Miller is the dude that you draft in the sixth round. You don't draft projects in the third round. Potential, sure. Projects, no. Hated that pick, as you can tell. Moby Coy, he came up. A&M offensive lineman? I don't remember. Well, oh, Kenny Green.
Kenny Green, yeah.
It says Castle Toe took. Are you calling Nick Caserio Castle Toe? What am I missing there?
Probably Kenyon, voice to text.
Kenyon Green would be high on that list.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Now, he was drafted 18, so it wasn't like that high. But you also traded down for the pick that turned into Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, you still made a trade to get a guy that turned out to be nothing for you the entire existence of a first-round pick when you desperately needed offensive line help.
Would Jeter be in the Hall of Fame as an Astro if he got drafted by the Astros? Here's the thing. Jeter probably would have played his first 6 years in Houston and then left in free agency. That's probably the reality of the situation.
You think so?
I do, yeah.
He seems like a pretty loyal guy.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I think he turned
to the Yankees
in.
Who were paying him top dollar.
I know, but he came from Michigan, and then and he went right to whatever franchise he went to. I think because he played in New York and became such a big megastar with his name and everything like that, that changed him. But I think that if he had success with the Astros, that he would stay, unless it's Drayton paying him.
Well, he would have been the owner.
Yeah.
He kept Bagwell, he kept Biggio. So, I mean, I guess that would be an argument for Jeter staying in mm-hmm. Houston. But it is Drayton McClain, and Jeter was finishing top 10 MVP every single year. Like, I think that Jeter probably would have found his way to Boston or New York.
Maybe
personal
so.
Opinion. 713-780-ESPN. Biggest draft bust in Houston sports history in honor of the not-so-great Forrest Whitley. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Now, something that is great is Monument Chevrolet. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you need to listen up. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Why can you trust Monument Chevrolet? Well, they're unlike the other dealers where you're always a little bit unsure. You know, you're like, am I, what are they doing? What are they doing? Do I believe what they're telling me? Is this way too much? Am I being upcharged? Warrant, like all this stuff that you don't want to deal with. Go to Monument Chevrolet. That way you don't have to. They're transparent. They give you no hassle pricing. Alleviates a bunch of stress and anxiety. And they've been serving the Houston area for 5 decades now. Monument Chevrolet has, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And these families just keep coming back, and they keep coming back, and they keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Word of mouth is a great thing for Monument Chevrolet, and Monument Chevrolet is a great thing for you. Family feel at Monument Chevrolet, friendly atmosphere. They have a fantastic culture there because they hire good people that you can trust. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, an easy deal, easy transaction without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. There's no tricks with Monument Chevrolet. They're not going to waste your time at Monument Chevrolet. And Monument Chevrolet isn't going to hide their charges either. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now is the time to do it. Check out their inventory at MonumentChevrolet.com. That's MonumentChevrolet.com. Or go visit them in person. 225 and Beltway 8. Their lot's massive. They have road names for the streets out there on their lot because it's that big. It's like a little suburb town at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Biggest draft bust in Houston sports history in honor of our dear friend Forrest Whitley. Which I'm surprised we haven't heard news on Forrest.
Too.
I'm expecting it on my timeline. Like, he gets claimed by Oakland. He gets claimed by Colorado. He gets claimed by Pittsburgh.
Miami, you know? Chicago.
Yeah. Well, which Chicago?
White Sox.
Yeah. I'd hate for him to be a Cub. He'd be completely useless by September. Cub fans don't like me. Everyone in the station individually has 165 more defensive runs saved than Jeter. That's an analytics joke. That's a Derek Jeter's bad at defense joke. I appreciate it. I tip my cap to you. We graduated from the same high school, Kalamazoo Central. Coach Strong, my welding teacher. I don't know who he's talking about.
Jeter.
Oh, really? Okay. He's Jeter, and he went to Kalamazoo, I guess. Is the Dodgers drafting Yordan and trading him to the Astros a bust on their part since we busted on their face with that trade? he didn't get drafted, Yordan. Yordan was an international signing. But, yeah, not a great trade for the Dodgers. Probably their worst trade in recent memory. Royce White. We mentioned Royce White. Be well. He never played in a regular season game, or did he?
I think he did.
Royce White's in that conversation.
Remember, because they made our strength coach turn into a bus driver so that they could drive him to road games.
Deshaun Watson did that to Jacksonville once when he had a punctured lung.
Yeah.
Royce White never played a game for the Rockets, regular season game. I think you were thinking of preseason. Never.
So.
He played in 3 games in his NBA life. It was all with Sacramento in 2013-14.
He's in the Big Three.
Isn't he?
He
like,
was, and he ran for Senate or
I think
Congress?
He was. I think he was elected.
Did he win?
I think.
Wow.
I know he was running. I think he did win.
Within the last 3 years, he played in the Big Three as well.
I vote Forrest because of how many times they kept pushing him up. They kept pushing him. I mean, they do that with all prospects. Strictly by what could have been Marcus Morris when the next pick was Kawhi. That's a good point.
That's a great point.
Yeah, they could have had Kawhi there. Shepherd is a project, number 3 pick. Bad Take Boulevard, okay.
What was
Appel went number 1 when they could have had Judge. I didn't realize Judge was in that draft. That sucks.
Judge was like 16 or 17 in that draft, but like Sac State.
He went to Fresno State.
Or Fresno State.
Yeah.
And then we had the kid from Kentucky. Is it Patterson?
Apparently Royce lost his voting thing.
He did.
Patrick Patterson.
Patrick Patterson instead of, I think, Giannis that year. Giannis was 14, I believe.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that either. Richard Jefferson, since it was Houston's pick we traded.
That was part of the Eddie Griffin deal.
C.J. Fedorowicz, Iowa tight end. Yeah, he was a lower round pick, though. Phil Nevin mentioned him. Who are we missing? Who else do we – there's a few more on the text line. 713-780-ESPN. We mentioned Jeter. Ross Blacklock, based on the hype. Did Ross Blacklock have a bunch of hype?
No. I don't know, he was a bust. He was TCU.
Second round pick in 2020.
Local kid from here in Houston, right?
Was he a Houston kid?
I believe so. And then he had a lot of problems in the locker room. Yeah.
He was a bad locker room guy?
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, coaches got real frustrated, I believe, with him.
Twitch is asking me, is Will Levis a bust? Well, he busted up the Texans last year. I know that he was doing that. He's probably bordering on bust. I think that's fair. I wonder what happens to him now. Like, Cam Ward's there. He has, I think, another year left on his deal. Will Levis, he was drafted the same year as Stroud.
He goes.
So this is their third year. So he would have the fourth year next year. They're not picking up his fifth year rookie option. So Levis would be a free agent after not this season, but next season. I wonder if they would trade him. He wouldn't have tremendous trade value. I wonder if he's a guy that like a team would pick up to be a long time backup. I don't know. Like, he doesn't strike me as like a guy you want to be your backup.
No, I think he goes like the route of like Kenny Pickett. Guys like that he just ends up being dealt somewhere, or the Alabama quarterback that went from the Patriots starter to
Mac Jones.
Yeah, I think he'll end up with a journeyman career, getting a chance somewhere else.
See, I'm not like, to be a journeyman, you have to be a good backup, and to be a good backup, you got to be like supportive to your starter. You have to be helping in the film room. I don't know if Levis is that guy. I have no idea. I would bet, if I had to bet one way or the other, I would say no before I said yes.
Okay, I think that. You know, we've seen enough guys young that don't get it, don't get it in their first go round, that still end up being a backup for a couple years.
Yeah, I would say a couple's fine, but he's not. I don't think it's gonna be Keenum, where he's a 20-year player in the NFL. Why is Keenum a 20-year player in the NFL? It isn't because he's the most talented guy ever at this stage of his career, super talented in his younger days, and is the greatest college quarterback statistically of all time. Go Cougs! But why is he still in the league? Why did Ben Johnson want him to come be a backup quarterback in Chicago? Because he is unbelievable in the quarterback room. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what those guys seek from backup quarterbacks. That's why they brought him in here with C.J. Stroud. Like, he's basically a second quarterback coach. Texas says Will Fuller. Do you think Will Fuller was a bust?
No. I mean, another guy that had immense talent, that when he was on the field, he was probably good for a good 30, 40, 50-yard play most games. But he just couldn't stay healthy.
Will Fuller was, like, really good with Deshaun.
Yes, he was.
Really good. I can't believe that he was so quick out of the league.
Then remember his last go around when I think it was Miami, and there was a chance that he's actually going to get some good time on the field, and then he sat out for personal reasons, or he left the team and never came back.
He must have had some off the field stuff. Like, he was too good of a player to be out of the league that quickly. And yes, he was always hurt, but he had some big games, like massive games. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Oh, okay. Is too early for Reed Sheppard? Yeah. Gonzo says Phil Nevin has to be one of the biggest busts in Houston sports history. Number one overall pick, did nothing for the Stros. Middle of the first, Royce White and Mark Capel come to mind. The thing about David Carr was there were numerous stories about him being the first one to go home. He admits that. So he wasn't a film guy. Yeah, I always heard first one to leave, which you can't have from a quarterback.
And then I heard that once he went through some of the hits and things like that, that in the meeting rooms, anything to do with audibles and everything like that, he was completely checked out on, and everybody was basically, why are we doing this? Because he's going
to
bail.
Yeah, it should have been Julius Peppers. Plus, I mean, that's a tough position to put a rookie quarterback. Oh, here you go. Here's a terrible offensive line, and you're going to play immediately. Like, that's never going to work. Ever.
And then the hype train got huge after they beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football to open the season. Like, oh, this guy could be him. Was it Billy Miller? He completed the first touchdown in history, too, or something?
I think so, yeah. This wasn't really a bust, but I remember specifically being upset when Kansas City drafted Mahomes 2 picks before Deshaun. Yeah, that was an interesting draft. Like, a lot of people didn't like Mahomes in that draft. No. Kansas City traded up to 10, and then the Texans traded up to 12. It is kind of funny, though, because, like, they were both – both Mahomes and Watson had serious draft questions about their arm.
And if you believe some of the things, the rumors that have been out there since, from what I've heard, Bill O'Brien was a big Mahomes fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that he wanted him. I don't know if it was Rick Smith or how they ended up, you know, figuring out between the two that it was going to end up being Deshaun. And then Kansas City moved up to get him.
It's a good thing that Mahomes didn't come to Houston. He would not be the same player with O'Brien than he is with Reed.
Probably true.
Yeah, he doesn't have the titles, doesn't have all of that. Like, the best thing that could have happened to Pat Mahomes was go to Andy Reid. Andy Reid's history with quarterbacks is unbelievable.
Oh, without question. He started in Green Bay, and he had, I remember one of the documentaries they did, they had Gruden on staff, and they had Reid on staff, and the fact that the coaches would go to them to call plays, and whatever they were calling were just instantly successful.
I think Reed's the greatest offensive mind of our generation.
I would agree with that.
Eric says Travis Johnson, biggest bust. He was a pretty big bust.
He was. Yep. Yeah. Love you, Trap. But, yeah, and he'll admit it. I mean, he admitted that it was the worst thing ever for the Texans to draft him because they played a system completely opposite of what he played in college. He wanted Cincinnati with the pick right either before or after to take him.
Shepard. There's a lot of Reed Shepherds. I'm surprised we're getting this many Reed Shepherds. Why does everybody hate Reed Shepherds?
Because drafted as high as he was, to your point about top three, top five, whatever, people's expectation is you get drafted in the top three of a draft, you're supposed to instantaneously be a guy that's getting minutes, getting buckets, and looks like he's going to be with you for a while.
All right, so to sum this up, we landed on Mark Capel, biggest Astro bust. Mm-hmm. Landed on him as the biggest Astro bust. Biggest Rockets bust, we're going with the Turkish kid?
Because Bryce Drew ended up playing, so yeah, it would be Mirsad Turkson.
Turkson or Royce White.
And what number did you say Royce White was?
16, I think.
Because he didn't play either. So it's between Turkson and White.
Yeah. I'll go Royce White because I want to say hashtag be well more often. Mm-hmm. And then for football, are we going Carr or Okoye? I think you got to go Carr because of the position. I'll go Carr. You can go whatever you want.
I'm thinking because of the fact that Carr at least played in the NFL. He got a Super Bowl ring. Got a whole bunch of money, too.
Late edition, Giovanni Meyer out of Miami. Went four slots ahead of Mike Trout. I remember watching Meyer the College World Series that year and loving that draft pick. I was like, yes, this guy's awesome. I remember watching Charlton Jimerson, too. It's like Charlton Jimerson's going to be such a great big leaguer, and he wasn't.
The Giovanni guy was a shortstop?
I think he was.
You said he went to Miami?
I think he did.
Okay.
I could be confusing him with somebody, but I'm pretty sure he went to Miami.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Will Fuller was on PEDs, says somebody. Is that true? Was Will Fuller really on PEDs? Because he was tiny. He was so small.
Yeah, but if you're and also on PEDs, isn't that supposed to help you with your strength and everything like that? And he just kept having injuries.
I mean, sometimes it makes you brittle.
That's true.
Levis needs to turn into Taysom Hill. That's not a bad call. Chuck Hayes. Nah, Chuck Hayes was great.
Chuckster was I don't think they drafted Chuck Hayes. They found him. CD found him, I believe.
And plus, he had a terrific career for who he was.
No question. Yeah. He started for a couple years for the Rockets at center.
The only Hayes that was drafted in the Rockets franchise, according to Wikipedia, was?
Elvin.
Elvin Hayes, number one pick in 1968 to the San Diego Rockets.
That's right.
It was the number one pick to the Houston Mavericks, too, in the ABA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They wanted them bad because they were in Houston. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day. What are yours? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Somebody said Kareem Jackson is a draft bust. Kareem had a really good career with the Houston Texans. Kareem's a bad call on that one. Whoever's saying Reed Shepard doesn't know squat about sports. He's a rookie that played with limited time. Yeah, way too early to call Reed Shepard a bust. Where are you at with Reed Shepard age? Blankers had to dip out, pick up the girls.
Yeah, I think definitely you have to give him more time. And also, that draft wasn't the greatest, too. So, I mean, you can kind of look at it as being like a little overdrafted. But I think he's going to be solid to the rotation starting next year.
Yeah. I'm very interested with the offseason the Rockets are going to have. Considering Kenyon Green was a two-time All-American, I would consider him the Texans' biggest bust. I wouldn't consider him over a Moby and Carr. The other thing with Kenyon Green is you actually flipped him for a decent player.
Right.
Like, you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming in. Like, at least you got a decent player for him. Deontay Foreman was a bust. Yeah, I feel like they mishandled Deontay Foreman a little bit. Foreman wasn't that high of a draft pick, so it's hard to go there. A few that I posted this on Twitter, Jeremy Branham. They mentioned a few names that we didn't mention. They mentioned Deshaun Watson. Watson wasn't a bust. Some people got funny about it. Alonzo Highsmith, not a Texan, so you couldn't mention him. But mostly, I think we covered them all. I think we covered all of them. All right, so let's get to our car wreck of the day. 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? You got one, AJ?
I just think about the Knicks right now, just having no plan, to be honest, on their coaching situation. That's really the biggest thing to me. Because, I mean, Tibbs, he's always been a solid coach. I mean, yes, he isn't the greatest offensive mind, but, I mean, he made it to the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. So
It blows my mind. Like, yeah. I thought it was a bad firing whenever they did it. Like, I believe that he's getting the most out of them. I don't think they would have won as many games if anybody else was the head coach.
Right.
other than maybe a select few. But then to fire him and have no clue with where you're going. How do you do that if you're if you're any NBA team, but especially the New York Knicks? Yeah. Makes no sense.
It's just malpractice. I mean, it really just shows how they have a lot of incompetence still in that franchise.
The only thing is if they want to give it to Brunson's dad and they're like trying to save face, which is not, I mean, it's equally bad, right. But it's like, okay, here's our plan. We're going to fire Tibbs. We're eventually going to give the job to Daddy Brunson, but we can't just do it right away. We can't just give Daddy Brunson the job because then we look really bad. So what we're going to do is we're going to make everybody look like we're trying to get one of these coaches that are out there. Ime, Kidd, all of these coaches that they've reached out to, and they've all said no. Billy Donovan, Quinn Snyder. So maybe that's their plan. Maybe their plan is we're going to make it look like we're trying and then give it to Daddy Brunson, which, I mean, it's equally bad. But
yeah, it is.
At least it's a plan, huh?
I guess.
Yeah,
it's bare minimal.
I want to nominate Oakmont. Oakmont's playing too easy. You a big golf guy, AJ?
I'm only a golf guy when I produced Will Doctor's show, so I mean, I watched out yesterday. So.
Did you hear what Will Doctor had to say about that Canadian Open golf course?
Oh, no, I didn't hear
it. He did not like it. He called it TPC. Bad word.
Oh.
He didn't like it. But Oakmont, the U.S. Open, first round today. We're going to be out at East River 9 tomorrow, by the way, as our summer circuit continues. Each and every week, we're out and about in our great city. And each week, you can register to win a grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand-new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, $4,000 value. All you have to do is stop by the promo table, be kind, say hello, like our Twitch rules, be kind. And then you can register to win these e-bikes. They're great. They're awesome. You can check out the entire summer circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. But tomorrow, we're going to be out at East River 9. So come out, say hello, watch the U.S. Open, have a drink or two, have some delicious food. We'll be there from 7 to 6 inside the River House at East River 9. But Oakmont, like, you know, this is the toughest course in the world, the worst, the hardest challenge in golf. I'm a big believer that the U.S. Open should never have a golfer under par, AJ. I want this to be the toughest challenge of the year. Our national championship should not have a golfer in the red. They should all be over par. Currently, right now, there are 12 golfers under par. J.J. Spahn, who is 4 under. That shouldn't happen. Thurston Lawrence, 3 under. Rasmus Nergard Pedersen, a foreigner, is 3 under at our national championship. The Koreans? The Koreans are making Oakmont look like the local Muni. They're tearing it up. Siwoo Kim, 2 under. Sung J.M., 2 under. The Koreans are dominating our national championship.
It's pretty shameful. Un-American.
J.J. Spahn's the leader. He is American, though, so that's good. Right. Brooks Koepka's been playing terrible, 2 under. But, yeah, anyways, that's the last look at Oakmont. I'm a big believer, though. U.S. Open should be the toughest challenge of the year. I don't know if y'all have seen what's going on with the Bengals. Have you seen this? They're not paying anybody.
It's terrible.
They draft the kid from A&M, Shamar Stewart. They're not giving him a fair guaranteed money, so he's like leaving practice, mandatory minicamp. I'm not practicing until you give me the rightful mandatory money. Well, why is he holding out? He's a rookie. Aren't these fixed contracts? They are, but you can manipulate the guarantee. That's what Nick Caserio annoys people about, because Nick Caserio will give every draft pick like the biggest guarantee ever for that position, and like it changes the calculus, and other GMs and owners are probably mad about that, but he's taking care of the player.
Right.
He wants the players to be happy in Houston. Okay, you're overspending a little bit, but you're keeping morale high. Okay, I can respect that. The Bengals are the opposite. No, Shamar Stewart, we're not going to give you the standard guaranteed money. This captain that they had on their team last year, Pratt, the linebacker, see you later, you're cut, gets scooped up the next day by the Raiders, and then Trey Hendrickson holding out because he can't get a new contract. The Bengals, unless you're a quarterback, Joe Burrow, or a receiver, Chase and Higgins, you're not going to get your money with Cincinnati.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's a testament to how good they were a few years ago making the Super Bowl. It's crazy. But now, just looking at the situation that they're in, I don't blame Shamar Stewart because they're putting him in like a type of guinea pig situation, adding these void years and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Oh, is that what they're adding, void years?
Yeah, that's what I saw a report about it, and Adam Schefter was talking about it. So, yeah, it's crazy.
No one's going to do that.
I know.
Like, why would a rookie do that?
I have no idea.
Cincinnati's so weird, man.
Did you see that if he just doesn't play this year, doesn't sign with them, he could be in their draft in 2026?
What's that?
He can enter the draft in 2026 if he doesn't sign.
Oh, yeah. That's like the Bo Jackson thing.
Right.
Bo Jackson wasn't happy with Tampa Bay when they drafted him number one because, like, they put him on a flight that ended his amateur status. And then he's like, well, I'm not signing with you. I'm mad.
Right.
I'm going to play baseball. And then the Raiders took him the next year, like in the seventh round. And that's why Bo Jackson would always play baseball until the season ended and then went to football.
Oh, okay.
Because he would always join the Raiders like in week 4, week 5.
Oh, so a little bit later.
Yeah, like Deion was the opposite. Deion played football primarily. And like, okay, when the football season's over, I'll go play with you. Sometimes he played both at the same time. Like that famous Deion Sanders played. I can't remember which game was first, but he played a football game and a baseball game on the same day. He took a helicopter from one game to the other.
That's amazing. I think I heard about that. That's amazing.
I need to go back and see like what his day-to-day was. Because like these football teams practice every day. You know? Like they're getting ready for the game each week. Baseball plays every day. I wonder during the crossover time like what Deion was doing weekly.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I'd like to know that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he would be overdoing stuff. I mean, sometimes he probably just do it off a natural gift and ability too, but trying to make sure he's prepared for each team too, though, yeah.
That's so hard. Like, could you imagine? Like, if, let's just say Derek Stingley played baseball.
Right.
Like, during the NFL season. Like, okay, so like right now he's playing baseball, but like what does he do during mandatory minicamp? Like, does he go practice and then play a game later that night?
I don't know. That...
I want to see a crossover athlete again. Yeah. Like it'd be so much fun if we had Deion Sanders today. He obviously was a big star, primetime, all that. Bo Jackson too, big star. But could you imagine nowadays, like in the age of social media?
No, it would be insane. They would have a lot of popularity. Yeah.
They would be the biggest thing ever.
For sure. Like I know Kyler Murray, I mean, he was really good at baseball. I think he was a first round pick, right? So it would have been crazy if he would have played, but that wouldn't have happened, especially playing quarterback.
I mean, there was a period of time where people thought that Kyler wasn't going to play football.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
There was a period of time when he signed the Oakland contract that they didn't think he was going to play college football.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to play one more year, and then just, like, went nuts that year. Won the Heisman?
Yeah, he won Heisman.
Yeah, and then ended up getting drafted. I wonder what he would have been like in baseball. Texter Deion also hit a home run and scored a touchdown that day. I didn't realize that. So he scored a touchdown, hit a home run on the same day.
That's wild.
That might be one of the greatest sporting like feats of all time.
For sure.
He played in the World Series in a football game. I remember it being the World Series. He worked his foot off. That's not cool. He worked his foot off. Come on. Apparently, he's been having some health issues, too. I saw that in the news the other day. Nominee Jimmy Ward. That's a good call. We got a little serious there. You think he ever plays with the Texans again?
I don't think
so. Gun to head? I don't think so. Yeah. I think he's done. Pauly said you guys are adrift. Pauly's wrong. We're going to be at East River 9 tomorrow. So trust Pauly or trust me. We'll find out if you're adrift or if you're at East River 9. All these busts that we mentioned today are the car wrecks of the day. That's a good call. Oso says car wreck of the nominee. These rumors going around on Twitter that Atlanta might be getting the next NHL team and not us in the H. I think they're getting – aren't they doing two teams? Hopefully they do two. I want the NHL in Houston. I want to be an NHL fan. Add something else to my list of hobbies.
Right, some more variety. Yeah.
All right, what's winning this?
To me, I think the Bengals.
Okay. All right, we give it to Cincinnati. Cincinnati Bengals, congratulations. You're our car wreck of the day. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks to AJ for filling in for that slacker, Brian McDonald. He was blank. I am Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow live from East River 9. Good night, everybody.